Radio show. I'm your host, Cindy Palos, with my friends. This is like a home gathering here. Kathy Takushi from Captivating Journeys. Always good to see you, Kathy. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
And Christine Wong's back.
Hi.
Oh, just for a short time.
Thanks, everybody.
She's kind of like lives her life touch and go. You know, her life is kind of like one of those touch and goes you do when you're going on the airplane. You just touch base and you take off again and touch base and take off. You know, it's like you're here for a week and then you're gone, and it's just so fun.
It's packing, unpacking.
Yes. Don't you get tired, though? I kind of do.
Of packing and unpacking?
Yeah, or just, well, flying. Flying's the hard part.
Yeah, sometimes.
Uh-huh. But she's 1K, see?
I know, but.
And she gets those, she makes sure she gets the best seats.
I know,
and she knows how to
hard.
Do that.
I luckily, I'm very blessed. I can sleep on the airplane, and I think that's key. If I start reading the magazine or watching the movie, I'll fall asleep.
Uh-huh. Oh, really? Oh, wow. Yeah. That is a blessing. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of weather and earth situations going on with the news and plane situations. Just to cover a little of the news, of course, right now they're going through a lot on the East Coast. There were a lot of cancellations once again with the storms that were happening there. They were getting some heavy-duty weather. Also, a co-pilot was sucked halfway out of a plane after the windshield cracked over China at 32,000 feet. This happened yesterday, and it was on Sichuan Airlines. And again, they were lucky the pilot this time was able to be pulled back in, and he survived it. I mean, he got sucked halfway out of the plane. The window cracked, and it was like a nightmare, right? And meanwhile, the other pilot was just doing his best to help. And what happened is the plane started going down, you know, because it was depressurized. But then they pulled the pilot back in, and then after it went down a little bit, they stabilized it, and they landed, and they brought the pilot in, and he survived, you know. They said the windshield just cracked and made a loud bang. And he said, the co-pilot said, next thing I know, my co-pilot had been sucked halfway out the window. So the guy pulled the co-pilot in while flying. And the co-pilot only suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Can you imagine that? So he survived. But that was the news yesterday. Of course, there's news ongoing with what's happening right here in Hawaii. And, of course, now they're watching some of the planes going over the Big Island because there's been more activity. They just did another update just a few minutes ago about more ash coming up. And yesterday, of course, there was another explosion. And with that explosion, it got up to 12,000 feet from the main crater. And so, again, they're watching that, and there's been more going on. So this is, of course, impacting tourism.
Which it shouldn't.
It shouldn't, and or. You know, here's the thing. We've been discussing this all morning at the station because it is 10 miles where all this is happening, but the crater is more. The crater does affect more. Mm-hmm. And they did a story on the news last night, and they were doing the story from Kona saying how it's terrible that some of the businesses are down 30% and Norwegian Cruise Lines didn't go in. They canceled the last trip because of concerns. But the problem was they did this whole story while saying everything was fine. And all you could see in the background was this very heavy fog. It looked like Beijing. And I was just thinking, if you really want to do a story about how everything's fine in the rest of the island, you've got to get a background that doesn't look like you can't breathe. Mm-hmm. And many people are saying that it is bad air quality, even on the Kona side. It depends on the winds, right? And I really feel for the islands. I mean, you know how we you know more than anyone how we depend on tourism. Mm-hmm. What would you do as a travel agent with Captivating Journeys if someone called you, and maybe they already have, and said, well, we were going to go to the Big Island. Should we go or shouldn't we go? It's a hard question.
We had that question for somebody on a cruise line for December. Today, just today.
Seriously, so, for December.
For December.
Whoa.
So, you know, it's a long ways off. So, you know, wait and see, because who knows, right? For immediate clients, if they're going to Kona, maybe I wouldn't suggest Hilo. I mean, Hilo's a cute little town, but I wouldn't the airlines are, you know, giving waivers, United, Delta, for going to the Big Island, but maybe you're just suggesting going, spending time on the other islands. If
I think that you'd almost have to do that, and you'd almost have to know your client. In other words, if your client has asthma, or breathing problems, or if they're elderly, or they've had like history of pneumonia or something, then I would say you want to be careful and maybe avoid the Big Island. I don't think any of the other islands would be anything you'd have to worry about. I mean, I think we've all experienced people who we know, who live around the rest of the world and on the mainland, who still don't realize we are not having the volcano happen here on Maui. So then we have to wonder if they don't even know, after knowing we're in Hawaii, and they should know we're in Maui, but they don't know the difference really. That there are probably some people thinking of not coming because they don't know the difference even between the islands or where it's happening.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. So geographically, I think really it's very confusing. Now, when you say the state of Hawaii, right? Then you have the island of Hawaii. Right. So it's very confusing.
Yeah, it is confusing. And most people, I found people even I know that are friends, a lot of them do not know the difference. Now, if you've been to Maui before, you know the difference, right? If you visited here. But I guess for all those who haven't, it's, and I mean, I guess I wouldn't know the difference between if someone lived in New York, if what province, what county they were from, I wouldn't necessarily know what where they are in relation to some, you know, accident that might happen or some terrible weather that might happen or something. So I guess I can understand it, but I think the tourism industry is going to have to really do some serious promotion to try to get the message out that, you know, it's okay to come to Hawaii. Because there was, right before, of course, this volcanic explosion.
There was Kauai.
There was Kauai. And then, and I hate to say it, we can't control the weather, but this happened to be a rather rainy, rainy winter, right? And for anyone, and a lot of business comes with the wedding industry. And if someone is going to have a wedding on the beach and something happens and it rains on them, you know they're going to be posting to all their friends and looking at it, and if it's raining on their wedding, it's not good. So this is something I think that there's going to have to be some concerted effort to rebuild Hawaii's image made. I mean, this happens to a lot of places. Remember when there was that Gulf oil spill and tourism and everything went down along those regions all the way along from Florida. Right. Remember that whole thing? And the British, was it British Petroleum, had that thing. They spent a ton of money, again, re-encouraging people to come and that they're fine, they're open for business. And I think that our tourism industry is going to really have to do some concerted efforts to let people know what's going on, that it is okay.
I just got, just a few minutes ago, an update from the Hawaii Visitors Bureau, too.
And okay, what'd it say?
So they're just saying, many of you are seeing the news about the volcano and what you need to know. There's absolutely no reason for, at this time, for travelers to change or alternate their leisure or business plans, and talks about the location and whatnot. So they are, and most of this will usually go out to other travel agents, you know, that belong to the Visitors Association and different venues for that. So they are sending out things to whoever it may be. So
And but the thing is, for it needs to get out to the country.
Yeah.
It doesn't help to that.
Right.
You know, but it needs to get out with major campaigns. And maybe TV ads and things such as that.
I'm sure they're pretty good at that.
And you know, and I would imagine, you know, for people trying to save business on the Big Island, I mean, I think probably would help to have a list of things people can do that have nothing to do with going up to the volcano, because that may be closed for a while, you know. But, you know, you can still go over the stingrays, and you can go out on the boats, and you have the pools, and there's lots of you know, other lovely things to do.
It does say that here. It says all accommodations and activities and attraction on the island are operating normally with exception of those in the area affected by the lava activity. So,
well, the park, Volcanoes Park, was closed yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you couldn't go up there. Now, I've heard it's changing. They change it daily depending on what's going on, right? Yeah. Because they had that big explosion yesterday. It went up 12,000 feet. So, and there were, in the recent ones that happened today, there were 2-foot rocks being kicked out. Close enough where if you were in the volcano park, you wouldn't want to be around there. So, but it doesn't have to just be going there. If you're going, you know, just like saying, if you're going to Wailea, you know, you might not be going up to the top of Haleakala if that was going up. You'd still be doing other things in the area. So there are alternatives. It's just that we're seeing so much coverage on the news because it is, I mean, the footage is mind-blowing when you see it. You know, you see those explosions and you see the lava and you see the homes and everything. So, I mean, I think the amazing story for me in that whole story is that how people are helping each other out.
Well, I don't want to be negative. However, Fred and I were on the Big Island, I don't know how many years ago when they had that earthquake. It was on a Sunday morning, and it was about 6 a.m. And, well, see, Garrett was in college, so it must have been at least 10 years ago. And that's when the Mauna Kea Hotel had cracks, and they couldn't use the elevator. We were staying at the Hapuna Prince. And because it was so early morning, so we were in bed. The TV came crashing out of that little stand, you know, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It fell to the ground. In the bathroom, the light fixtures crashed to the ground.
Really?
Yes. And there was absolutely no warning, and it was shaking. And all I remember was, well, Garrett is fine. You know, he's got a great education, you know, he'll be well taken care of, and and if they find us, at least Fred and I will be found together, you know, in this hotel room.
Was that part of an explosion that was going on?
No, it was the earthquake.
Was that big one?
It was what, 8? It was.
It
huge.
Couldn't have been 8.
That's the one they closed the backside of Kaupo, that closed the road for
yes.
a long time.
Oh,
right?
Really?
That one,
yes.
Quite a few years ago.
And luckily we were there for a convention, and we had played golf the day before, and we did not put our golf bags in storage like other people did. So luckily we grabbed our luggage, our golf bag. We got out of the room. There was water everywhere. The pipes had broken. We walked, and, you know, everybody had to evacuate. So we met outside the hotel in a grassy area, and luckily, because we had our golf bag, we got into our car as soon as we could get our car and drove to the airport, and we got out just in time.
Wow.
Because after that, it was chaos because people couldn't get to work, and you know, we you know, because
I never heard that story before from you. I didn't know you had gone through that.
Yes.
That's interesting.
And Garrett had
Did they give you your money back for the stay?
No, because we were checking out. It was Sunday.
You were checking out anyways. Right?
And it was fortunate that it was so early Sunday morning that was there very little traffic on the road. And so that way, you know, construction people weren't on the roofs because, you know, they're building all around. And I was thinking, if that was a weekday, there would have been people falling off buildings.
Well, and strangely enough, that big earthquake, of course, it's hard to really know all the damage because it's all happening once, but the 6.9, I don't think they had that much damage there when the 6.9 happened, but that would have probably been less than what you said that happened before. But, you know, here, you know, we are living in the volcanic islands, and so a little of this is like, well, you know, Mother Nature isn't always going to be caring about our plans here. You know, that these things can happen. And so I really just hope and pray that people do continue to come and that people don't stop. Because, I mean, tourism is the backbone, really, truly, of a lot of people's foundation and work. And not only the hotels, it's all the restaurants, I mean, all the different businesses, the car rental places, the impact is really huge. I mean, I was talking with your friends, actually, you know, from the hotel and Visitor Industry Bureau. I was talking to Lisa a couple weeks ago. Lisa Paulson, you know Lisa, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And she was telling me how much money's made in taxes through the Maui hotels and lodgings. It's something like 40% of the state's taxes come from that industry. So, I mean, it's huge. That's in property taxes and things. Mm-hmm. So, and congratulations to them. They just raised $1.4 million on that walk they did last Saturday for nonprofits.
Yeah.
So, you know, tourism is important. We hope that people do continue to come, of course. And with the guidance of your travel agent, that's what, if they trust you, and they do because you live here, they can follow the advice of a travel agent. There's a lot of people who are traveling independently and they don't know the difference, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a travel agent can really help them out, you know.
Well, you know, that's why I said I didn't want to be negative, but because being there when that earthquake hit, for me, if someone were to ask me right now, I would just say, wait, because something can really happen. I mean, mm-hmm. there can be, you know, an eruption, you know, with who knows.
Well, they expect an eruption. That's almost given. Yeah.
So I think that you don't want to be there if they have to shut down airports, if they have to shut down roads. You know, you just don't know. And I think that perhaps come to Hawaii. And like Kathy was saying, for United, I noticed today, because prior to this, they said, oh, you can change the date, but it had to be the same itinerary.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Now they have put another waiver where you can change the itinerary. So, you know, instead of San Francisco to Kona or Hilo, you can change and maybe come to Maui or go mm-hmm. to Kauai or Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something new they just added, where before you still had to keep that, you know, same itinerary.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have the opportunity to change to a different island. You just will have to pay whatever the change fee.
Well, it's great to be able to be flexible like that, too. Mm-hmm. And again, if you have someone you trust as your travel agent, they can guide you through that and doing that and make that happen, you know. Panic never works.
No.
If anyone's going to ever panic, that never, ever, ever works anywhere.
And the poor Hawaii Island, well, after that earthquake, there was a lot of damage, and their tourism took a big loss then, and it took them a while to come back, and then now this. So that poor island and tourism is
it's tough. Yeah. We're going to talk a little first. I'm going to let you talk, Kathy, about any kind of deals, because we want to talk, I guess, about Paul Gauguin and other things going on. Is there any special deals with I still have questions. I have friends that still want to go on the Paul Gauguin who've never been to Tahiti.
They should. Yeah, so they still have dates up through the end of the year for the Hawaii resident special. So you can take a look at that on our website at captivatingjourneys.com or call the office and we can send you information.
244-1414.
And that really is the best deal out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
Japan.
Japan. Very popular still.
There was that deal on Hawaiian Airlines. Did you see it? $570-something mm-hmm. dollars to go to Osaka.
Yes.
I think you have to buy it by this week, but travel by the end of the month. I'm sure they're going to extend that.
That's a very good deal.
Yeah.
Very, very good deal.
Everybody loves Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about Christine's adventures, the continuing adventure of Christine Wong, who loves to travel. And you just came back, well, about 2 weeks ago, you came back from going to the Caribbean.
Yes.
On Celebrity Silhouette?
Silhouette.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And that was a rather quick trip. But you don't usually do long trips to the Caribbean.
Yeah, it's just 7 day and leaving out of Fort Lauderdale round trip, and you go to Key West and Cozumel and Grand Cayman and Puerto, one more place. Anyway,
Did you like? Everyone's heard of the Grand Caymans because of their financial situation, what they can offer financially. What did you think of the Grand Cayman?
Yes, I love the Grand Cayman, and I always do the same shore excursion.
Oh yeah,
which is you go out on a boat, catamaran or sailboat, and you swim with the stingrays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what I love about it is that you go out to a sandbar. So you get off the ship and then you get into a, you know, van and maybe 20 minutes away. And there's different boats you can go on. And I chose this catamaran. And it was wonderful because there are maybe 25 of us instead of a very large mm-hmm. boat, you know, where they could be like 100 people. So you go out maybe, I don't know, a couple miles, and you go to the sandbar in the middle of the ocean, and you go into the water. So you're just about chest high.
And standing on the sandbar.
Standing on the sandbar. And the guide is very good. He'll say, okay, no shoes or, you know, those water sandals, barefoot. And they tell you how to walk because you don't want to be stepping on a stingray. And
no, I don't think you'd be. I would not like to step on a stingray.
Yeah.
No,
however, no. the experience of that is just amazing because they are coming out from the wild.
Mm-hmm.
They can come and play with the tourists if they want, and the guide is holding the stingray and he'll put it on your chest or on your back, and it's incredible. And the stingrays, they're really tame because they know the guide. They feed them, you can feed them, and they tell you, you know, how to feed them, and you know, you kind of put your thumb away and
like you'd feed a horse.
Oh, I don't know how to feed a horse. So anyway, and it was just amazing.
Yeah.
And they're free. They're free to come, free to go. If they want to play with tourists, they come. If they don't, they don't come. And
I mean, they did this when we were in Tahiti.
Yes. Bora Bora.
Same thing. Yeah. Yes, Bora Bora.
It's smaller, though. The stingrays are a lot smaller.
Oh, were they?
Yes.
Oh.
Because even Shirley said, oh, yeah, I've already done that in Tahiti. I said, well, surely it's a little different. And she was amazed.
They're that much bigger.
They're huge.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Hmm. And I have to wonder, and how do you feel about this? Because part of me goes, you shouldn't be feeding, you shouldn't, just like you shouldn't feed whales and you shouldn't feed dolphins. And I kind of don't know how, if you're supposed to, really. I mean, I understand people do it for tourism, but I don't really know if it's good to feed stingrays. I mean, I know it's good for tourism, but I don't know if it's good for the stingrays.
The manta ray, too, on the Big Island.
On the Big Island.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are huge, too.
Yeah. Have you done that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they do the night fishing?
Yeah.
And night diving with those? Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's fun. And you know, of course, there's photo opportunity. I think you took some pictures, too, on that, too.
Yes.
Didn't you? Yeah. And you did the aqua class, which I did twice, and I have to say the aqua class on Celebrity. Have you done that ever, Kathy?
I have not been on Celebrity.
Oh, I'm surprised.
I know.
Okay.
I'm really surprised you haven't, because, that is...
One day.
Well, Celebrity's great, but the aqua class blue restaurant is the best, and they know you. They give you a different meal every night. You don't have to worry about it. It's like 70 or 80 seats in the room.
Yes, yeah. And so the restaurant is called Blue, BLU.
Mm-hmm.
And so the advantage of that is when you book aqua class, only the aqua class passengers can go to Blue. If you book a suite, you have your own separate restaurant, Lumine. So the advantage is you can go to dinner anytime. Mm-hmm. No early seating. You can go at 6 o'clock. You can go 7:30 or 9 o'clock.
And they get to really know you and what you want.
Yes. And I must say the quality of the ingredients, you know, the vegetables, the fruit, the fish, the beef, it is a much better, I feel, than in the main dining room.
Mm-hmm.
And also the service, because they know you.
They know you.
And it's just so pleasant and it's just so relaxing.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. That was one of the highlights. I did the Blue twice. And then you went to Cozumel, and you hadn't been to Cozumel before.
Oh, you have been to Cozumel before. Yes.
Did you do any of the tours there?
No, we walked around because Key West, we did a sale. And I didn't know that Key West has the third largest coral reef.
I didn't either.
I didn't know that.
Because they got damaged by the hurricane. How was that there?
Well, the reef was not very impressive, to be honest. They've had a lot of bleaching problems.
Oh, and dear.
Yes. And that day we went out, it was quite rough.
Mm.
You know, climbing the steps down, and we went snorkeling. And, I mean, we were, like, sloshing. I mean, it was very rough.
And you're very used to being in the ocean and on boats. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, you know, it's funny because I never have had any desire to go on a Caribbean cruise because I feel it's so similar to what we do here. Have you been on the Caribbean cruise?
I've done a Bahama and I didn't care for it because, you know, we're spoiled from Hawaii and we kept comparing it. And
yeah, you can't help but compare it to a degree. Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah.
You know.
And then you have this other adventure coming up, which this one is, you've done this one, I think, before, but I don't think in exactly the same manner. You're leaving Friday to fly out, and I imagine on United.
Yes, on United, and actually Fred and I celebrated our 35th wedding anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Last week, I believe. Anyway, so we are going to fly to Newark, and we will arrive almost 7 a.m. on Saturday. So we're taking the night flight. And then we will go to the Marriott Marquis, our favorite hotel there, Cindy.
That's where we stayed,
in Times Square.
It's huge.
It is.
It's you've been there, right? It's massive.
I stayed there twice,
Yeah, two Starbucks. Yeah. I don't know how many restaurants, lots of restaurants.
And then hopefully we can take a nap because 2 o'clock we're going to the ballet at the Met to see Giselle.
Oh, beautiful.
And then at 6 o'clock we're going to have dinner with our friends Holly and Howard that just happened. They live part-time in Haiku. They will be in New York. So they said, let's get together. So we're going to have dinner at Frankie and Johnny's. I've never been there. And then we're going to see Carousel.
Fun. Is that in Broadway?
Yes.
Right there, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And it won't be freezing this time. It was pretty cold when we were there, remember?
And yes, and then we'll be toast.
But the prices have gone up because it is not the winter season. The prices went up from when we stayed there,
You mean
right?
for the hotel?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Because we got a pretty good rate. Plus, it was, I think, a bit of a Grammy discount. But I think we paid $260 a night.
Yeah. Now it's up to close to $500.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
With the taxes and, you know, that resort fee.
That resort fee. it's always
everybody's doing it now, even Las Vegas.
I know. It's thrown in there. And sometimes you can negotiate with them and say you're not using resort. Can they waive it or give some reason? Sometimes they will waive it. They waived it for us.
Yes. And thanks to you, Cindy.
Yeah. But I've tried to negotiate that sometimes, and they just don't even. When I was going to Oahu and I wanted to spend the night, and they were going to do like a $35 resort fee, and I'm going, well, I'm only there for the night, and I don't have time to use a resort. Can you waive it? No. Nope. We never waive our resort fee. So I guess you kind of have to know. And I don't know, travel agents sometimes don't even get the discounts that seniors get. I mean, sometimes in some of these places you don't get the discounts. I find there's better discounts for travel agents in Europe than there is sometimes here in America. Do you find that, Kathy?
Because like in Europe, they don't always have senior discounts like they do here.
I've seen the senior discount can be sometimes
better
equal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or better
or exactly. common,
yeah
know,
exactly yeah. yeah but so you're going to New York. You have a lovely, I think sounds like exhausting but a fantastic whirlwind day. And then you're off the next day you fly on United again
Monaco? Then on Sunday we're having brunch with Garrett.
Oh, good.
And then, Oh, then you've heard of Classified, that restaurant that United has. It's this, you have to be invited, and it's at Newark. So anyway, I got an invitation.
From United?
Yes. And probably because I'm 1K, to dine at their Classified. It's the name of the restaurant.
Oh, I want to hear all about that.
It's in the airport?
It's in the airport. Wow. And I've gone there before. I was by myself because I was very curious. And so you go to this restaurant. You show up at the specified time. You need to make an appointment. Then they take you behind this restaurant, off to the side. And there, it's United's private restaurant. I mean,
Is this a new thing?
I think it's fairly new, maybe a couple of years.
I mean, you told me about the one that American Express has, which was pretty nice.
Oh, that's a Centurion Lounge. This is totally different.
Because that was very nice.
Yeah, so this you have to be invited. And so then everything in Newark is off of the iPad. You know that, you know, every restaurant you go to, you need to order off of the iPad. So Classified is like that. And when I went, that was last year, and I ordered, they have this breakfast sandwich with brioche and this bacon and, you know, and I had coffee and you know, I was by myself. There was only one other person there. And then when it came time for the bill, I couldn't find it, and so I asked the server. I said, "I can't find the bill." He said, "Oh, we're taking care of it." I said,
"Well, isn't that nice?"
That was nice.
Well, yeah. Are they going to do that again?
Oh, yeah? I don't know.
They don't tell you, huh?
I'm not expecting it, but that was a nice surprise.
Very nice.
So after brunch, then our flight leaves at 5 p.m. out of Newark. So I made a 3:30 reservation for Fred and I.
Okay, so you just go early and have a meal.
Yes.
You're going to eat well that day. You're going to have the day before and brunch. Where are you going to have brunch?
I'm not sure. Garrett's going to pick
a place. Yeah.
Yeah, then we're going to fly to Nice and go to the Monaco Grand Prix.
Does Nice has an international airport, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And our friends,
you have friends in Nice,
live there, so they will be picking us up. And so for people that, you know, are car and race enthusiasts, you know, the Monaco Grand Prix is like, you know.
Oh, it's the big deal. Yeah.
The big deal. And so Fred and I actually went to the Monaco Grand Prix. I'm thinking about 35 years ago, 34 years.
Oh, it's been that long?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And however, this way we're joining a group. It's called Moto Express, and they're based out of England. So it's very easy. We've taken 6 different trips with them to different races. Motorcycle is the MotoGP, and then the Formula One. So we've taken about 6 with them. So all you need to do is show up. And they book the hotel, they book the tickets for the race, they will transport you there, they have a welcome dinner, and Thursday we check in, and we'll be staying in St. Paul de Vence, and then...
That is an amazing town. We went there before on a cruise, we were doing that cruise.
Yes.
This is a beautiful...
Yeah.
It's not that far from Monaco.
No.
The bus ride from Monaco was about... An hour?
Depends on traffic.
Yeah. But they're very tiny roads.
Yeah, very,
very tiny roads, and you wind. I mean, I can't help but think of Princess Grace and those winding roads and how, you know. But you wind around, and there's this beautiful little jewel, art town, very, very, very fine art. There were famous artists that lived there, which kind of made it an art town. And you can see these amazing, around these really lovely, I don't know. It's like Beverly Hills up in the hills above Monaco. It's kind of like, it's very, very nice. And there's lovely different private hotels.
Yeah, little boutique hotels. Mm-hmm. We're staying at De Messigues. I'm probably butchering the name. And it has its own vineyard, a little one.
Mm.
And then Thursday night is the welcome dinner. And then Friday, we get to go to Cannes. And then we get to walk the pit lane. So, you know, we can see the cars and, you know,
right down there.
Yeah, yeah, right down there.
It's noisy.
Yes.
They're loud.
Yes. So
those
cars
are loud.
Yes, and that's what it's all about, Cindy. Yeah. It's loud. You feel the vibration.
And there's money.
You smell
money,
the
money.
Exhaust.
Yeah, you smell the money.
Well, and it's and expensive. I'll never forget where Fred and I were sitting. It was across what they call the pool, which is the harbor where the most luxurious yachts are parked, and people are the beautiful people, and they've got the beautiful floral arrangements. They have their TV, they have their champagne, so they're watching the race. They got the TV, they've got the surf. I mean, it's pure decadence.
Yes.
And we're sitting maybe three rows, and all that's separating us from the cars, you know, the Formula One cars coming, 200 miles per hour, is a chain link fence.
Oh, dear.
So I looked at Fred. I said, Fred, you know, if they hit this chain link fence and we're here, we might die. And he goes, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of like, wow, this is exciting.
Yeah, it is.
The adrenaline. And it's, you know, the only Formula One race that actually goes through the streets.
Oh, yeah.
Of, you know, Monaco.
And the most expensive streets. I mean, they're in Monaco, there's the casino. And the casino is famous for the most expensive cars that park there.
Yes.
There was this funny story a few years back about an accident that happened. And one of the cars either got driven wrong or lost its brake or something. And it hit like a Rolls Royce, a Lamborghini, a Ferrari, and like two other. I mean, the damage from just this little parking accident came to like $3 million, you know, because the cars are that expensive there, you know. But it's unbelievable. But it's a jewel box of a place. It really is it's a very, very gorgeous place, Monaco. And this is the big event. So, and like everyone's really, you know, they know everyone's going to be in town for it. And it's like a big, 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 big deal. So the group, did they all sit together for the car race as well? Are you all together in the group for the car race?
Yes, we are. So they limit it to, usually it's about 40 people, because depending on the bus, mm-hmm. because they will transport us. So, you know, in the morning we have breakfast, and they said, okay, 8:30 a.m. the bus will be leaving promptly, and if you're not there, we will just assume you made other plans. And they're very good. The John and Linda Sinker, who are the owners, they are incredible. Attention to detail, the hotels that they pick. And then we get transported, and we, you know, where the buses can park, you know, we don't have to walk very far. And then we have tickets in the grandstand. And you just...
Where do you go to lunch? You just have places, little stands along the way?
Yes, you just walk around and, you know, buy food and buy, of course, you know...
See, now here we'd be hot dogs, right, and mm-hmm. chili dogs. There it's like you get your bread, right?
Your foie gras,
your cheese, your brie, and
wine.
Yes, it's not quite hot dogs, I don't think, at Monaco for the Grand Prix races. You know, it's kind of amazing. Probably maybe crepes. There might be some crepe
places. Oh, there
are.
Mm-hmm.
I bet, some
crepes. And so we're actually having friends of ours that they live in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, Ted and Lynn, and that was on Ted's bucket list, to go to the Monaco Grand Prix, you know, once in his lifetime. So they will be joining us.
It's fun.
Yes.
It's going to be fun. So you're there for how many days?
Well,
in Monaco?
So we will arrive Monday.
And what date on Monday? That'd be the
18th is Friday.
Yeah,
Saturday.
21st?
20th.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we will...
Because she's not good on Facebook like you are, Kathy.
I don't do that.
21st.
Yeah, 21st.
And then I mean, Kathy, you can just go and see everything she's doing on Facebook. Yeah, and I get pictures. I get pictures from Kathy, from you, but Christine's not like that. She doesn't post her pictures on Facebook.
Yeah, and then we will be back on the 29th.
Oh, okay. So what else are you doing after the Grand Prix?
Well, actually, before that, our friends are picking us Monday, and they're taking us, I believe, to Avignon for... couple nights.
Oh, Avignon's nice.
Yeah. So, you know, we just said
Your friends from Nice are driving you.
Yeah, they're driving us.
Mm-hmm. I was there on that cruise, and it's where the popes actually, there was a split in the whole Catholic thing, and part of the popes went down to France, and they stayed there in Avignon, and there's some lovely big buildings, and some are museums now, and some are still churches, and there's some parks around there, and I found it very interesting. It's a beautiful place. I don't remember. Yeah, there's a small little town that's nice, with a very charming little town, actually, there. Mm-hmm. So that is very, very lovely. So a couple nights there will be interesting.
We'll be there Monday, Tuesday night. Then Wednesday, we'll come back to Nice and have dinner with Ted and Lynn, because they're coming in from Paris, so they're taking the train. And then Thursday, we go to St. Paul de Vence to our hotel.
Which is lovely. And so you're in your hotel there for three nights?
Four nights. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
You know, and all of this you'd think would be thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. But actually, you got a good deal on that trip with that group, didn't you?
Yes, and not only that, but to plan everything, to get the race tickets, to get the transportation, to know where to park. And, you know, it just takes a lot of time and research, where with, you know, John and Linda Sinker, we just say, okay, sign us up. Just show up at the hotel. Okay, here's your tickets, you know, here. This is where we're going to go. And you just meet enthusiastic people, you know, and they're so nice from all over the world.
So how much does it cost to do that with that group?
It depends on the hotel you choose, but I would say roughly about $2,500.
Isn't that amazing? That's cheap.
Is for the hotel, the meals, the transportation. Yeah.
The tickets.
Tickets.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, really, if you know the way you're talking, I mean, I would have guessed it would have been at least $6,000 for that, because that's
per person.
Per person.
Yeah, but still, that hotel, those hotels are very expensive. That's a very, very exclusive area. Mm-hmm. And this just getting around on the buses, and let alone, I have no idea what tickets go for, but I would imagine tickets in those good seats are worth a lot of money.
Yeah, you know what? I will have to check about tickets to the race, because sometimes they're included and sometimes they're not. So I'm not exactly sure. Mm-hmm. However, the assurance of knowing everything is taken care of, you know, you don't have to worry.
And I mean, it's thrilling. I wonder how long, I don't remember. That's a pretty long race.
It's 71 laps, I believe it was.
It's a pretty, I remember. It's for, compared to some races, it's a pretty long race.
Yes.
And just the fact that it, you know, I hope most people realize what this race is, but you go through the streets. You're really
through
going
the tunnel?
Right through the streets of Monaco, you know. And it's such an amazing tradition there. It has such an amazing tradition. It's been going on for years. I don't remember how many years, but as long as I can remember, they've been having this race. And there's so many, almost all the favorite drivers, famous drivers, have driven this race. And it's got such a tradition to it that it is quite a thing to be able to go and see that. That's an event of a lifetime, to be able to go see the Monaco Grand Prix.
When we went 35 years ago, Alain Prost was the winner. So, I have a favorite driver. That's Lewis Hamilton, of course. We'll see how he does.
Are you going to be able to see his car and everything?
Of course, yes.
These cars, I don't even know the value of them.
You don't look like a race car driver fan.
She doesn't look like a race car driver
fan. I would have never guessed.
I wouldn't have either.
You know what? I was never a fan, and it wasn't until we went to the Monaco Grand Prix, and experiencing like the vibration,
the energy,
smell, the energy, the noise, the excitement. Yep. I mean, just being so close to the cars. And really, it's like, Fred,
we could die. In another lifetime, I liked race cars. I knew Stirling Moss, and I went to some of the races and stuff, and it was like, it's pretty addicting, actually.
It is. It's adrenaline.
It is.
It's to the max.
It is absolutely adrenaline.
To the max.
Yeah, and speaking of that, they have very good coffee in France, too. Get some nice coffee there. Start out with your croissant and your lovely coffee in the morning at your hotel and your lovely food that you'll have there. I think this is going to be a great one. I'm very, very, very thrilled for you. I think it's a wonderful experience. So you come back when?
I'll be back the 29th. Tuesday? Is that Tuesday?
Well, you know, we're going to have some pictures. You're going to have to send me pictures. You know that. Yeah, I mean, really, because I want to see some of those race cars up close. And you got to take some pictures of the cars going around the tracks. I know it's hard because you're going to have a fence in front of you, but still, you want to try to get some of those pictures for sure. Mm-hmm. Cannes, really, I think, you know, I've had a lot of debate on this, but I was in Cannes before, actually, for almost a week or two. And I think it's pronounced Cannes, but a lot of people call it Cannes because they think it's going to be Cannes. But Cannes, of course, is famous for its film festival.
Yes.
That's one of the top places in the world. And it's also a very exclusive, beautiful, beautiful place. And lovely walking and parks and buildings and history there as well. So that's quite an experience.
Yeah, so we'll be there Friday.
Yeah.
Before the pit lane.
And then you go back where? You go back to Nice and leave from Nice again?
Yes.
And
yeah, from Nice. And then fly to Munich.
Oh, okay, Munich.
And then Munich to SFO, San Francisco.
Overnight in San Francisco?
No.
All the way.
And San Francisco to Maui.
That's a long haul.
Yes.
Did you get the upgrade?
I did on the way back.
Okay. Not going out.
Not yet. I'm still waiting.
Wow.
I'm still waiting.
And you say, listen, I just got this exclusive meal, and the you know, if you can give me the good meal, you can get me an upgrade, right? Wow, because you'd like that. Of course, it's not so bad. From Newark to Cannes, what, 8 hours?
8 hours.
That's not bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 8 hours is
yeah,
not bad.
Yeah, it's nice breaking it up.
And nice, well, at least the long haul back, you have the upgrade.
Right. Because we're doing it all the way through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you stop in San Francisco, right?
Yeah, for like 2 hours.
And you change planes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You don't have it all the way through yet. No. you haven't gotten there yet. Well, I mean, she's done it once again, Kathy. She comes up with these amazing trips. It's pretty, I mean, I never could keep up with her.
I know.
I don't think we even talked about what happened. When I went, I don't know if I spoke to you when I came back. You know, when I went with the Graham Institute in New York, I came back, and then you went on.
Yes.
And you did that cruise that was amazing.
Oh, yes.
That was
the Viking Ocean, the Viking
Star.
Oh,
yes, you did come and talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if you notice the ads now, you know, because we always love the Viking ads, And now they're promoting not their river cruises, they're promoting their ocean cruises and saying, we got the awards for this, the awards for that. And so they're promoting a lot those ocean cruises now.
Yeah, they.
My travel agent friends, they're so bad. They are going on one in December, the same one you went on.
Oh, they are?
And they're like, oh, let's go. And I'm like, no, I'm not going anywhere.
Really?
Why?
I don't know. I will. I'm working on a new kitchen. So
That would
I could
do
have
it.
Had a really nice kitchen
that
by now.
That would
but
do it.
Every time we, you know, but you know, something always comes up, but
it
now,
does always.
I'm staying put.
Well,
for
you did
while.
That amazing trip to Egypt, which
yeah.
was, you know, that was a classic trip to Egypt. I've been emailing Andrea Smith back and forth a bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's such a sweetheart. She's going to provide me artwork for my cover of my next CD.
Oh, nice.
It's going to be a place of peace, and she's going to let me use one of her pieces of art. She's just Andrea Smith is amazing.
She's so fun to travel with.
I'm sure she would be. That lady knows how to live right and enjoy life, you know.
Yeah.
She really does. And she has great taste, too.
And she has all these little sayings, and I said... And I would write a few of them down. I go, you need to make a book and call them Andrea-isms.
Yes.
She just like, you know, I don't
well,
know.
Well, she did a little book that called Lighten Up, Enlighten
I had
Up.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great book. And I kept that for a long time. I don't know when I moved. I don't know where it went.
Yeah,
but,
I just saw it in my drawer the other day.
But no, she's an enlightened being for sure. Absolutely. And I wish I could have. I mean, if I went on that trip, and I wished I had. I don't think I could have afforded another trip for a whole year after that because that was an expensive trip. That was first class all the way, you know, absolutely. Well, we do want to mention before we close out here, we've got about a little less than 5 minutes, maybe about 4 minutes. But the big story, of course, is the royal wedding. And it's really good for tourism. Talking about things that are good for tourism. We need a royal wedding here in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
But they took the queen away. I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself on that one. But the royal wedding is huge. It's, you know, obviously the princess, Princess Meghan Markle, has really attracted worldwide attention, especially here in America. She's an American princess. And her gown, did you happen to see the gown?
Mm-mm, I haven't.
It's a $135,000 gown, and it is fabulous. It is unbelievable. It's like an Arte drawing that is just unbelievable. But we are going to do a special tomorrow morning on the air here from 7 to 8, a little bit of the prep stuff about the wedding. And then we will be broadcasting the wedding on Saturday at 7 o'clock. It happens like at 2 in the morning. So obviously we're not going to broadcast the wedding at 2 in the morning real time. So we're broadcasting it at 7 o'clock when you can wake up. And it's going to be a two-hour broadcast with all the information and everything that happened with the royal wedding. And I think it's partly because, you know, there's been all these shows. There's been all this fascination with Victoria. And there's been The Crown. I don't know if any of you watch The Crown. I love The Crown. And there's been all these... there's been all these amazing shows about royalty. So there is this fascination we have with royalty, and this is like royalty brought into this day and age. And, you know, because Harry was always like kind of the wild one, and Meghan has an interesting background herself being, you know, she was already divorced, and she's 3 years older than men, and she's, you know, mixed. And so there, it's like everyone's going, wow, this is the new royalty, and this is what we really embrace. And there's a lot of discussion because the father of the bride first was not going to come, and then he was going to come, and now he's not going to come because they said it was a heart attack, and now they're saying on top of that that he's going to have surgery. But they eat this up. They love this kind of news, and it's been all over everywhere about the wedding. So you can be sure that London is packed to the gills with people, and London is not a cheap place to go anyway. So you know there's a ton of money coming in to see this one. It is like everyone is talking about this
thing. I wonder how many Americans are going.
I am very curious as well, but I bet you a bunch because, you know, there's a lot of the New York connection. And she knows a lot of stars as well. She has a lot of movie star friends and stuff. So there's huge interest. And that kind of thing does draw attention, and it's always good for their tourism and everything. So... we'll be keeping our eyes and ears open on this one because maybe more ears on the radio.
We actually have clients there right now. They weren't going for that, but...
Oh, my gosh,
yeah,
they weren't going for that.
They just got in today.
Oh, you'll have... I would have...
And I think they leave Saturday.
Oh, gosh. I mean, can you imagine leaving the day of the
wedding? I have to tell you the story about these clients real quickly. So they were in Israel when the bombing... Oh. They were in the Golan Heights.
No.
And they could hear the bombing.
Wow.
That
oh, yeah.
thing. So then they had called me, and they wanted to leave the next day. And then so I got them out then... the next day, and then I guess the husband decided, no, we're going to stay. So then I had to change it back.
Uh-huh.
And they stayed, and they just left yesterday.
Oh, we have to have
so
them come in.
Yeah, they did London, Paris, Germany, Italy, and then they did an Israel tour.
Oh, my gosh.
So
how fabulous.
Yeah,
so, well, good for them staying because, again, I mean, it was a terrible one, and there were 50 people. We were just talking about this before we came in with David Corson. And we were saying, you know, it's just like when you hear about the Big Island, there's 10 miles affected there, but everyone in the world thinks the whole world's coming apart, but, you know, you can stay and be fine. So it is a matter of keeping your head straight and not getting panicked, you know, if you don't need to. But would love to have them to come in. We're just about running out of time. I want to thank you, Christine, for coming. And you always do.
Something you wanted to
oh,
share.
Oh, I just wanted to say, yes. I saw Of Mice and Men at Yale Theater on Sunday for Mother's Day, and it was unbelievable.
Yes, great acting.
Unbelievable.
Great
really
acting. We're so lucky
incredible.
To have people who act like
just
that.
Just wanted to
yes,
say
thank
that.
You. And Kathy Takushi, 244-1414, can help you even if you want to call all the way from Golan Heights and get out in time and change your mind and stay instead.
Oh, gosh.
Which is like emergency. Get me out. No. We
no,
change our mind
gonna,
stay.
We're going to stay.
just remember, you can change your mind and do that if you have a travel agent. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week here. Aloha.
Oh, that must have been crazy.
Yeah.
Health officials are confirming a new case of mumps on Maui. The State Department of Health said the infected patient had recently traveled to Oahu, which has seen the most amount of cases over the past year.